Rossini's Barber of Seville includes music that's been used in so many classic cartoons that you can't hear the opening bars without having Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, or Woody Woodpecker pop into your mind. But the opera is an immensely popular comic treasure in its own right, and it's currently being performed in an all-new abridged version in English that just premiered at the Metropolitan Opera. Mezzo-soprano Isabel Leonard stars as the coquettish Rosina, and her voice is so lustrous and textured. Listen to that. You can see why she enchants the opera's counts and doctors alike. I'm very pleased to welcome her to our show. Hello.
Hi.
Haven't you sung this recently in Italian at the Vienna State Opera?
I did quite recently.
So what's it like to sing it in English? Did you ever have to resist slipping into Italian?
All the time. It's been quite a journey for all of us. In order to even start the process, we had to look at the piece as if it were a new piece. Throughout rehearsals, we tripped over our words all the time, made things up in English and in Italian. I mean, it was a very long process.
Well, you have great articulation. I could understand every word.
Oh, gosh, thanks.
So is this an easy translation to sing? Because it was written with the rhythms of the Italian language in mind.
It was. Sandy McClatchy, who did the translations along with a huge group of participants in this process, he was very
the poet.
Yeah, he was very open to our suggestions when it came to some maybe changing some rhyming schemes, particularly so that the voice could sit on a different vowel, whether it be in a higher register or lower register, so that the voice could carry more easily. And he was really open to that. So there were lots of changes made throughout the weeks of rehearsal.
So did composers who write operas think about what vowel you're on or when you're hitting a really high note?
I think for the most part, the really good ones did.
Mozart understood those things.
Yeah, I think they all did. It could have been at the time a natural instinct, but I think they absolutely knew.
Does English work with the very rapid fire runs and tongue-twisting pattern in this opera?
I think it can. I don't know whether me particularly, I don't know if I'm always successful with it, but I think it can.
This production was directed by Bart Scher, who was on our show just a couple of days ago to discuss directing Golden Boy on Broadway. What was he like to work with? Does he direct the opera as though it's a play?
He directs in a very human way. You know, he wants the characters to be very real and to have complete thoughts and emotions and to come on and off stage completely. You know, you don't just walk on stage. You have to come on from somewhere, as we would in life. So that's something that we do with him a lot. And he's funny, and he's got a wicked sense of humor, as I'm sure you probably know by now.
But I would think that there's a temptation in an opera like this to mug, but you don't do that.
I hope not. I don't know. There is the tendency, and the slapstick is very much in the forefront. It's one of those pieces that you can go in that direction. So you have to take care.
And it's a physically funny production. At one point, we see an enormous anvil backstage about to crush a pushcart. The performers don't see it until it's too late. There are all sorts of buffoonery, which seems to me like it might be quite demanding.
It can be. This version, because it's so short, it's much shorter than the Italian version, everything has been cut down. Sort of the fat has been trimmed, so to speak.
Only the big hits?
Yeah, it's like the highlights and, you know, recitative and everything has been cut. So for us even, we've had to pace ourselves differently. And I find every time we come off stage, we're all panting because we've been running around the entire time. So in that sense, it is demanding.
In the old days, you could just stand around and sing beautifully,
right.
Nobody expected any acting from opera singers.
Right. It was all in the voice, which it should still be, but there's a little more to it now.
So how much does acting play a part in what you're doing?
I think it's a huge part. I mean, for me, I like to say that I'm a singing actor, I hope.
But different than musical comedy.
Perhaps different. I think that, you know, we have different sounds of voices that we're accustomed to for different genres like musical theater, musical comedy, and opera. But I think that ultimately, this is sort of my soapbox now, but ultimately, good singing is good singing, and you can find that across the board.
Go ahead.
I think that's my that's my hope, to make all of this really accessible, no matter what kind of genre it is.
Every opera would lend itself to this sort of production. Mm-hmm. This was created with families in mind, I would think. You couldn't do something similar with Carmen or Tosca, could you?
Well, the subjects are a little more serious in those two operas. I suppose it could be for perhaps a not PG holiday, but perhaps a slightly rated R, I don't know. But this one was the holiday production at the Met, so they really want to bring children and families in and make it accessible and warm and friendly.
Do you think that Rossini wrote it with that in mind? He wrote it in 13 days, I gather, and he was just 24 years old at the time.
I wish I knew him, honestly. A lot of the composers at the time stole from themselves. And so, as you know, in the end of this particular opera, when the tenor sings, it's the same tune that the mezzo sings in La Cenerentola. So he stole a lot of his own music in order to put these pieces together quickly. So I honestly do not know what he was thinking at the time, but he did put together a really funny piece.
And you said that you would have loved to have known him. You've also said that you love this opera. What makes it's something that you, I mean, when you say you love this opera, I'd imagine you'd love any opera that you can sing well.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. We tend to gravitate towards the things we do well, don't we? I love this opera, and I love Rossini's music because it's fun. It's fun to sing. I like his use of words, the patter that we're talking now, of course, in Italian. I think it's very funny. I think he's very clever.
You think there's anything to the fact that his name is Rossini and he gave your character the name Rossina?
Sure, why not?
We opened with a famous piece in which Rossina describes her personality in a very funny
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah, she does. She's quite clever. She's, you know, as the story goes, right, she's locked up by her guardian and she hears this beautiful voice and now has decided she's completely in love and wants to get out, as we all do. And she talks about being sweet and gentle and clever.
Docile.
And docile, exactly, right? And, of course, which is anything but docile. But she knows how to play the game that she's supposed to play for her guardian in order to not, I suppose, have the actual lock and key. But she does say, you know, if I'm pushed around, as the English says, if I'm pushed around, I'll stand my ground. And she says, I'll be a vixen, and in the Italian, a viper. So she's vicious.
Well, how do you approach the demanding runs of In My Heart, Hear His Voice, which is your first big solo? We'll be playing that at the end of this interview. But I'd imagine there are breathing problems.
Like in the coloratura and all the fast notes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because you can't go.
Yeah, no, you can't. Although sometimes we probably do. It's just practice and practice and practice and planning things out in the practice room while you're working on the arias with your conductor. Rossini has written the music. Rossini writes all of his runs very well. And there is usually a place to breathe. He has always, he's planned it out quite well for you.
My guest is Isabel Leonard, who stars as Rossina in Rossini's The Barber of Seville. It's at the Metropolitan Opera and running through January 5th in the holiday season with some other operas, I imagine.
Absolutely.
On opening night, there were a lot of kids in the audience, and it was great to hear all of them giggling throughout the evening because this is a plot that has a lot of silliness in it. Can you give us a brief summary?
Sure. Well, Rosina's stuck in, let's say, to put it in a child-friendly synopsis, it's the typical princess story in a way. The, you know, princess locked up in a tower, so to speak, by her evil guardian who wants to marry her. She hears her young prince who's trying to woo her from a distance, and she and the barber of Seville, of course, and the prince all try to plot their way out of this problem, and they succeed.
This has always been a favorite of kids. I remember seeing an Our Gang comedy in which Alfalfa was the barber.
I can only imagine.
And when he's saying, I am the barber of Seville, it got a lot of laughs.
I can imagine.
But this is really very much an ensemble work, isn't it? At one point,
Absolutely.
Four or five of you are singing in this amazing harmony.
Absolutely. It's a big ensemble piece. You know, you need a group of people that can pick up each other's energy and toss it around and laugh and play and have fun together and make it fresh every night.
Now, this is a very different opera from the one you just finished doing, mm-hmm. another premiere, the Tempest, which got great reviews.
Yes.
This spring, we'll be seeing you again in a rare revival of Poulenc's French Revolution tragedy.
Very different.
The Dialogues of the Carmelites. So how do you choose which opera to perform? Is it a matter of what you think will best suit your voice or just what's offered to you?
Well, it's a little bit of both. I would say that principally what happens is that we're offered certain roles and if they're appropriate to sing, we accept. And so this season is a wonderful season for that. It's very different between Miranda and the Tempest and Rosina and the Barber of Seville and Blanche, of course, in Dialogue of the Carmelites. They're three very different female roles. And it's really a highlight of the three are a highlight of the season for me.
Well, you did say the Tempest was the most difficult technical piece you've ever done.
Yes.
Is that because it's a modern piece?
Yeah. Thomas Addis is a brilliant composer, and his music is beautiful and just technically difficult. And so that was a challenge to learn and a very rewarding challenge in the end to get through something of such difficulty and actually be able to make music.
My guest is Isabel Leonard, who is Rosina in The Barber of Seville, also a bunch of other operas that are coming up. Barely out of Juilliard back in 2007 when you made your Met debut as Stefano and Gounod's Romeo et Juliette.
Yeah.
It's one thing to aspire to sing at the Met, another to do so when you're really young. Was it scary?
It was scary. It's true. I started very young. I was very fortunate that the roles I could sing allowed me to start my career quite young. But it was scary to do my debut at the Met so early, and particularly with that aria. I was all alone on stage. So I thought I was auditioning for the whole Met audience.
Well, there was a time when they would broadcast Met auditions on the radio.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Gosh. That's horrible.
You didn't have to go through that, right?
Definitely not. I think I would have run in the other direction.
These days, we almost expect our opera singers to come from somewhere else, the Midwest, the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. You're a New Yorker?
I am, born and bred here in Manhattan.
And went to LaGuardia High School?
I did. I went to LaGuardia High School, and then I went to Juilliard.
Did you already know when you were at Juilliard that you wanted to sing opera?
Opera came along as I did my studies at Juilliard. It is a classical-based education there.
But you also studied at the Joffrey Ballet
School. I did. I started dancing when I was very young, when I was about 5. I did that for about 8 years at the Joffrey. And I was in the Nutcracker at City Center for 2 seasons and had a great time there. And
you've been in the dance thing for kids at Christmas,
kids,
and now you're in the opera thing.
Yeah, and I always tell people that somebody should have warned me when I was 10 because I, one season, had to play a boy in the party scene in the Nutcracker. And I was horrified because I was a 10-year-old girl. I mean, that was miserable. But somebody should have warned me then that they would have just said, Isabel, you're going to be playing boys for the rest of your life in opera, so get used to it now.
A number of mezzos wind up getting all those boy parts simply because of the range of your voice. But you can sing regular soprano parts, can't you?
Well, it depends on the range. It's, you know, the color. I think the mezzo definition is probably more in the color of the voice and where the voice sits on the staff. And if the role sits in the right place, whether it's labeled mezzo or soprano, it doesn't really matter. It's really where it's most comfortable.
Joyce Donato's done pretty well.
Yeah, absolutely.
As
she and I actually just had this conversation the other day.
Has the ballet training helped you in the opera in terms of stamina and body awareness?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if anything, it's given me a sense of just body placement and how to move under different circumstances and just being more aware, I think.
What was the first opera you saw?
That I saw? That's a good question.
Were you a kid?
I would have been a kid, and my mother would have dragged me to it most likely. It may have been the magic flute, actually, which, you know, that's
good for
another,
kids.
Yeah.
Now, you have a bit of juggling to do in your life, I understand. You have
yes.
a young son.
I do.
Did you perform while you were pregnant?
I did, until I was about 6.5, 7 months pregnant.
Now, you sing from your diaphragm. What happens
yeah.
when there's a baby sitting on your diaphragm?
For me, it was very uncomfortable. I thought I was smushing him the whole time, and it was very odd. Actually, I sang my very first Rosina in Denver, so in altitude, no less, while I was 6.5 months pregnant. So I figured... Well,
and you must have been showing.
I was a little bit by the end
of
the run.
Gives a whole new meaning to Rosina's.
Oh, yeah. yeah. But the whole new meaning as to why she wants to get out. Yeah.
I understand you sought advice from Marilyn Horn about the demands of singing while you're pregnant.
I did. I sent her an email one day that I was feeling really defeated about it all. And, of course, she had a great time during her pregnancy, and she said she sang up until, you know, the last moment. So I love her, but it wasn't very helpful.
Well, opera singers tell me that they're often committed for years uh-huh. into the future.
Yeah.
What does doing all of that traveling mean when you have a kid? How old is Theo?
He's 2.5. He's 2 and 7 months, yeah. You know, he comes along with me. He travels with me all the time. I've probably been away from him for a handful of days, you know, each year. And
it's going to change when he goes to school.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's the whole preschool thing. Bartlett Sher and I have been talking about preschools. But he comes along with me, and there's a nanny. And when I'm at home, we see our friends and my mother, who's here in New York. And so he's a little traveling baby.
And what do you listen to when you're at home? What's on your iPod?
A lot of music is on my iPod. I listen to a lot of jazz. I grew up, once I was in high school, I sang with a jazz band, actually, a lot. And I really enjoyed that. So I listened to a lot of the goodies, oldies, and standards like Ella Fitzgerald and, Etta James and Nina Simone and Billie Holiday. And then, of course, you have Doris Day and all of the ladies, the Gershwin ladies. And
but you're not allowed to improvise when you're singing opera.
Well, actually, you can in Rossini, technically. I mean,
he leaves you little spots where you can
do
things?
Well, there are cadenzas, for example, where you can kind of create your own cadenza. And a lot of times when you, like in Una Voce Poco Fa, in the first aria that Rosina sings, the second time around she sings the music, the actual written music is the same, but the second time you sing it, everybody usually changes it a little bit to their own taste. So that's sort of like improv.
It's been reported that you were painfully shy as a kid. Has
yeah.
performing, because you don't seem shy right now.
Well, I've learned.
appearing on the stage of the Met all alone.
Yeah, well, you learn a lot throughout your studies, and you learn how to walk into a room and not want to cower off into the corner, and you learn how to approach people and say, hi, it's so nice to meet you, and what's your name, and how are you connected to so-and-so here, or whatever you have to say.
It sounds like the Motown training.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your next thing after you do Rosina?
I actually head to Toronto in January to sing my very first sesto in La Clemenza di Tito by Mozart.
But again, a foreign language. This is
yes,
a rarity,
Italian.
Actually, singing in English.
I have not sung this much in English, I think, my entire life. So this fall has been a new one.
Isabel Leonard stars as Rosina in the current production of The Barber of Seville, the very family-friendly production in English at the Metropolitan Opera House, which runs through January 5th. Thank you so much for being on our show.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's listen to you do something extraordinary.